Good morning, all. Welcome to everyone who is here today in this gorgeous space. Welcome to those of you who join us electronically. We are one congregation today. We're so grateful for each of you joining us. Stacy would love to have been here today, but lacks the energy for it. She sends her love to us all, especially me. But you as well. 2 days ago, Friday, January 6th, was the day that Christians across the globe called Epiphany. Many churches celebrate the Epiphany on the Sunday before. We didn't. We are doing it today. So happy Epiphany Sunday to you as well. Christmas decorations are still up, and that is why just a bit later at around 12:30, you're all invited to come and join us here, and as we say in the theater, strike the set. Take these down and get the sanctuary looking as it usually does. After worship, more immediately, we're going to meet in the fellowship hall for the happy celebration of a coming newborn child. Sounds like Christmas. This child is to be born soon to the Francius family. They are among our newest members here. Come join us, please, as we give our thanks and give blessing to them and to this child. That's Valerie and Alex and their kids, Emma and Calvin. We'll join with them. There are refreshments there, and we'll bless them and be happy together. You will check your announcements for other words of upcoming events, and I should mention one more. We are, as most of you already know, hosting the Warming Shelter through the month of January. Every weekday, our doors are open for people who need shelter from the cold to come in, to be together, to be with some of us, and to have something to eat and drink. We serve lunch on Mondays, including tomorrow. If you would like to bring groceries of some kind to offer your own contribution to those meals together, you will see in the bulletin insert how you may do that best to let us know. Now, dear friends, we are gathered on a special day for the worship of God. Let us together offer our call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. But the Lord will arise upon you, and the glory of the Lord over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Thank you.
If you are able, please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Good and merciful God, we gather here this morning and in other places via the internet to worship you. Please open our hearts and our minds to be transformed by your Spirit and the Word. And we ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Justice, O God, and give your righteousness to leaders who will rise up in the name of true justice and merciful and grace and expansive goodness for all. May God judge people with righteousness. May God judge the poor with justice. Experience God like rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water our earth.
Through us, may God's righteousness flourish, and may God's peace abound until the moon is no more.
May the opponents of God's justice for all bow down before God, before the Alpha and Omega, before the Lamb upon the throne. May the enemy of God's love for all lift the dust. God has compassion on the disadvantaged and the disposed, the desolate and the destitute. God saves the lives of the powerless.
From the oppression of lives, God redeems the disenfranchised. They are righteous in God's sight, and in ours too. So we arise and shine. Our light is come. We will be God's light, the light the world needs.
Amen.
Oh.
Waldron, I invite you to come forward with me up here. Come on up. Good, come on up, Finnegan. Come join us here. Be real careful with the candles, friends. Keep school a little closer. Good. Finnegan, why don't you come sit here by Anna? You come all the way through? Good, buddy. Emma, can you sneak in here? You can sit right here by me. Perfect. Oh, good. Come sit right here. That's good. Yeah, perfect. Hey, in just a little bit, Pastor Paul is going to read from the Bible the words of the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it gets confusing because they're both Paul. So Pastor Paul is going to read some words from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was going around after Jesus had died to tell about who Jesus was. He would write letters to people, to communities of people. And the question was, who is this Jesus guy? Who is this? Do you see how we have here? What do you see? What does it say? Jesus. And there are a whole bunch of what? Question marks. Who is Jesus? Knowing Jesus helps us know God's love. And I wonder if we know something. What are some things we know? This is what the Apostle Paul said. Hey, talk to each other about who Jesus is. That's how you get to know more about who God is through Jesus. So let's think about some things. Who do we know that Jesus spent time with? Who did Jesus spend time with? Piper, who? Ooh, those who were sick. So I'm going to remove a question mark. I'm going to say, we know that Jesus spent time with the sick. He healed them. Healed the sick. Anna, what's something you're thinking? Ooh, Jesus spent time with the poor. He encouraged the poor. So I'm going to remove another question mark. Oh, we know a little bit more about Jesus. I'm going to get rid of that. Jesus spent time encouraged, I'm going to say. Encouraged the poor. We heard a lot about that in our first reading today. Encouraged the poor. Protects, defends the poor. And crushes the systems that make it so that people stay poor. Who else did Jesus spend time with? Piper, who are you thinking? The homeless, people who don't have a place to stay? Sure. Who have no home? Look around at each other. Who are you? Ah, children! Hey, God spent time with children. Jesus would say, hey, come, let's talk. I imagine that the children would say knock-knock jokes to each other and to Jesus. What do you think? So Jesus spent time with kids. That tells us something about what God is like. As we see what mattered to Jesus. Anna, what else are you thinking? I'm going to say laughed with children here. Laughed with children. And, oh, Jesus shared what he and his... Shared what he had. Food. Shared what he had. Especially food. Good. Now, we could keep going with lots of things we know about Jesus. And do you think we would get rid of all of our question marks? Or do you think there would still be some things we weren't so sure about? What? You think there might be some things we're not so sure about? Yeah, that's another thing the Apostle Paul talks about in the reading today, about mystery. Can you all say mystery? Mystery. We don't try to say, hey, we know everything there is to know about God through Jesus. We don't try to say that. We do try to understand and know more about what Jesus' life was like and what he did and who he spent time with so we can know God better. But there's also this part of mystery. So question marks are always going to be part of our story. That's why we wonder together in Sunday school. That's why we wonder together here in this space. It's good to keep learning and to keep wondering together. You know what I like that Finnegan's doing? Sometimes at school, do they say, hey, does this make sense to you? And you can show a thumbs up if it does. And you can say, I'm still trying to figure some things out. That will always be. We're always trying to understand more about what God is like. Yeah. Hey, let's pray together. Would you put your hands out like this? Like in a receiving space, yeah. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, who helped us understand more about Jesus' life. Help us remember to seek after, to learn more, and also to enjoy and wonder in the mystery of it all too. We're so glad we get to be learners together. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to walk to this church school together. Careful of the candles, okay? Walk around them.
Pray together. God of thresholds, God of epiphanies, God of a fresh start, the brightness of your love shines beyond all that we can see or comprehend. Your goodness shimmers beneath the surface of everything we know. We can scarcely fathom the staggering story, the wide, wide scope of so much grace. But in response to what we do see of your light, we lift our praise, our love, and our lives. We also offer these, our prayers. We pray for all those who live in places of violence and unrest. We pray for all who suffer sickness or sorrow, for those in need of food and shelter, for the forgotten, the lonely, the despised. We pray for the leaders of our world and for people who serve in quiet and hidden ways. As school begins again, we pray for students and for teachers and administrators. We pray for your church everywhere, that we might be faithful and compassionate, open to your guidance and obedience to the way of Christ. And we pray for ourselves, that we might see ourselves more with your eyes of love and live in the freedom and the security of knowing we are held in total goodness. We pray that same freedom and security for each other and for everyone, and we pray special prayers today for people we know who are in particular need right now. We pray for Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marr, Stacy Simpson Duke, Maria Pirantosi, Essie Slaughter, Rodney Scow, Allison Lovell, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Chris Ledyard Argus. And we offer our silent prayers to you in hope and trust. God of glory, in Jesus you came near to us. Open our hearts to the wonder of such love as this. Light of the world, shine in our lives. We pray. Amen. A reading now from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, you know your father and mother in God, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, and I have written briefly. When you read this, you will conceive my insight and the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons and daughters of human beings in other generations, as it has been made known by the Spirit now. That is how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of that gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was searchable in unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose of God, which God has realized in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. And so I ask you not to lose heart over what I or anyone may be suffering, which is your glory. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious God, may the ears of our hearts, the eyes of our mind, be opened. Speak new word to us, and let us see and hear deeply, and be transformed and responsive to your claim and your calling on our lives. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Who doesn't love the moon? Sooner or later, doesn't everybody have to look up one night at least, maybe a great many nights, look up in wonder at the moon? The moon hanging low over a lake or an ocean, a bright white moon shining over snow, the thinnest needle sharpness crescent moon, the huge burnt orange harvest moon rising. And we say, look at that. Look at that moon. But it's just a rock. It's just a cold, sterile rock. A landscape of nothing that gives no light at all from itself. All it does is get shined on by the sun, which we marvel at, but what we're marveling at is sunshine on a rock. Moonlight is sunlight reflected in the dark. It's the same with the planets. Look into the night sky. We can tell which of those lights in the sky are planets because they're the ones not twinkling. Stars twinkle because stars are burning. Planets don't because they are reflecting light, that's all. Orbiting the star that is our sun, that light shines on their surface, and we see it as light. Our planet does the same. Earth shines with steady light that we don't make. For us here, it's the blessing of daylight, but from millions of miles in space, it is visible as an unblinking blue, steady light reflected from the star that is our sun. And the world all around us is filled with smaller instances of the very same thing. We see how, the water shines when light is on it, or a temple shines, or a church, or a tree, or a mountain, or a face when it's lifted to another light. Our faces can shine. And the prophet Isaiah makes an image of this for human life in the presence of God. We said this scripture at the beginning of worship together as our call to worship on this Epiphany Sunday. Arise, shine, for your light has come. God's glory risen upon you. Then you shall see, and you shall be radiant. The presence of God is the sun. We are to rise to it like the planets and the moon, like the mountains and the waves, and shine. Light like that is to overcome what Isaiah calls thick darkness. Or in the version we read, deep darkness. And what is thick or deep darkness? Can't see a thing. Can't see your hand in front of your face. Can't see a path. Can't see possibility. Can't see the people around us as they really are. Can't see what is right. Maybe can't see the real truth. Can't see hope. So a world of thick darkness, deep darkness, is a world of people wandering sightless or lashing out or immobilized, stuck where they are. Thick darkness means ignorance, dullness, pointlessness, anxiety, rage, despair. There's too much of that in the world, and friends, there is too much of that in us. But there is light. God is light because God is love, and the first thing love says is, let there be light. God's light shining in darkness, and those who turn their lives toward that light and look to it, they shine like the planets, like the rising moon. Arise, shine, for your light has come upon you. Now you look and be radiant. One reason to love an image like that is that it takes some pressure off of you and me. Because maybe we wish our lives were more like a star shining, but we go at it all wrong, looking to find fire in ourselves, to get it going, keep it going, looking to find fire given to us by somebody else. Come on, baby, light my fire. Only she, he, they can't do it. It's like trying to light a fire with soggy matches, trying to keep flames going from green branches. I'd love for my life to be more like a torch, but I fizzle, and it's exhausting to keep huffing and puffing and performing as if your life was to be like some kind of star. And then when you fail, to sink to the conclusion that there's nothing but darkness in you. Isn't it true? Says the prophet. You do not have to be what you are not. You are not the sun and mustn't try to be. You are not the source of life for your world, the center around which others should find their orbit. But you can be like the moon. In the end, all that's ours to do is to be present to the true light, to be open to it, available to it, and our lives can beautifully shine in their own way. So maybe the core question ought to be this: to what are we most truly paying attention? Where is the gaze of our living most set, more often than we are fixing on all else? As busy and as fraught as our lives may be, what is the essential attention of our living? If it's mostly on ourselves, our troubles, our fears, desires, our self-loathing or self-promoting, that is a pretty thick darkness. Or if the gaze of our lives is to the people around us, how to please them, what they think of us, what we think of them, more darkness, thick, deep darkness. But to live a life essentially facing love, divine goodness, compassion, justice, peace, God's love, if our attention, our devotion, our receptiveness is love-facing, then our lives will come to reflect it. The great British Christian mystic Evelyn Underhill said, "We tend to become that which we behold." What we dwell on most will dwell in us. And if we look most to the light, we become radiant. This is true even if, maybe especially if, we ourselves have come to a very dark place in our own lives. We will say later in the service, this table is for everyone. For those of you who can't see, we just were joined at the communion table by a comfort dog. How on earth do I weave that back into the scene? Attempting then no segue, may I begin at the new thought. This is true. Maybe most especially true if we ourselves have come to a very dark place in our own lives. When bitter troubles come, when we are all knotted up with worry and stress, when we're falling apart with exhaustion, sadness, confusion, grief, we may come to feel that there is only darkness, there is in our own existence pointlessness, there's nothing in us to give that can matter, but nothing can be further from the truth. For the issue is never whether we can feel warm light in our situation or in ourselves. The issue is not our strength or our goodness or even our hope. The issue is not our hope. The issue is the beholding of love. Love isn't all that we see when our days are difficult. Of course it's not. We see so much else that's nearly unbearable. But even with suffering before us and around us and within us, we can look to love. Yes, we can look to love. Without denying pain, without pretending, without false piety, we can look to love. God's love, and within it the beauty and the strength of human love. As Paul said elsewhere, we can keep returning our thoughts as we are able to what is good, what is noble, what is lovely, what is worthy of praise. And through it all, we ourselves can be kind. We can be open to love, expressive of it, and in the light, at very least, be kind. And so the light will shine in darkness. We may not feel the light on us, which does not matter at all. Only look to love, God's love, and a radiance will rest on your life. Two days ago was Epiphany, day for recalling that the child born in a cattle shed became light for all this world, not just his own people, but all people, including us. How that light was like the burning light of a star shining in darkness that Magi chose to look upon and follow till it brought them to the source also of light, not reflected light in this child, but the new burning of it. And in his light, they were radiant and opened their gifts. That's our calling, to be present, to stay present to the light, and it will shine in what we are becoming, and in what we seek to give, and in how the world around us may change. In July of 1969, the first human beings set foot on the moon. Vern Jensen, one of our sainted members, used to tell me this story. It was important to him that I know it, and now I'm making it important for you to know it, as Vern would have it so. One of the first two men on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, did something remarkable there. His church had given him a small communion kit, a little silver chalice, and a vial of wine about the size of a fingertip. On the moon, he radioed Houston and asked for a few moments of silence and that the camera be not on him. And while no one was listening or watching, Aldrin opened the plastic package containing the bread and wine. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, Aldrin saw the wine gracefully curving up the side of the chalice, rising. He read scripture. He ate and drank and gave thanks. And so it was that the first food and drink ever consumed on the reflected light of the moon were the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Isn't that something? The bread and cup lifted up there on a landscape reflecting the great light of our star, the shining sun. And here we are now, invited to such a way of living. Our light has come. We rise to it, drink to it, live gratefully together in it, seeing that light reflected also in each other. We are held, all of us, in infinite love and light. We can see. We can see well enough. And we can shine. And as the Magi did, who followed the star to the light, we also bring gifts of what we possess and of who we are.
Thank you.
This is the table of the Lord, the table of God's grace, and all are welcome to it. All are welcome to receive of these signs of God's love and to recommit our own living to the offering of it to our world. In preparation for receiving it, let us confess our sins before God and each other. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, and forgive us while we delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Now, friends, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Excuse me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All things are made new. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, I apologize. Will you stand now? And extend to one another signs of reconciliation and peace. And may the peace of Christ be with you.
In the beginning.
God created all things and called them good. God created humankind and pronounced goodness and blessing over us. God loved us, and when our love failed, God's love never ceased, but sent to us again and again the word of life, until in the fullness of time, that word became flesh. Pulling for me. In the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, God gave birth in the world to a new people, a people on whom light shines in darkness. And we are invited and blessed to be such people. We remember today his death and resurrection. And so we remember who we are. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
body of Christ, the bread of heaven. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. All praise to you, most holy God, for gifts given here, for invitations of your Spirit extended here. Now make us one in Christ, one in fellowship, one in ministry to all the world. Shine through us, O gracious God, as Christ has shined your love for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As always on Communion Sundays, there will be plates at the door. These are for collecting funds for what we call our fellowship fund. Money's held in our office for when people come our way in material need. Let us give in our freedom and in our joy. Will you stand now for our hymn of fellowship? Thank you for your patience today with the clown car that was your pastor. I do hope and pray that in spite of it all, the deep holiness of Holy Communion and the offered gospel today among us has reached place, some place in you, in us all, that will be transformative. Be aware as you go that you live your life not alone, but in union with one another and with all creatures of God. Let us make our lives a witness to grace. Let us live our redemption and be grateful. And now will you receive benediction? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.